So any guesses on our topic tonight? Any guesses on our topic?
Singing.
What's that? The fifth dimension. You're all close. We'll talk about the lyrics in a minute. I'm surprised that nobody got it. It's the New Age movement. The New Age movement, okay? So, that's right. That's right. That was 1969 was when they did that song. So we need to pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the day today, Lord. Thank you for just the way you provide for us in our day, Lord, the way you teach us in our day, the way you guide us. Thank you for guiding us here tonight, Lord, and just the opportunity that we do have to look in your word and learn from it. I do pray, Lord, that as we look at this doctrine that is a very popular doctrine in the world, Lord, that you would give us understanding about it, understanding why it is appealing to the world, and Lord, what the truth concerning it is. Just ask your guidance in that tonight, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. The term New Age refers actually to the Aquarian Age, and that's what that song is all about. The Aquarian Age, which according to New Age participants is dawning. Hence the song, okay? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It is an age that is supposed to usher in world peace, world enlightenment, and reunite man with God. That's what New Age people would tell you. According to New Age philosophy, get this, man is presently considered separated from God. They believe that, but it's not because of sin. Rather, it's because of a lack of understanding and knowledge concerning who God really is. That's why they would say that man is separated from God, is because we don't understand who he is, and we need to gain that understanding. What we look at tonight is you're going to see, is closely related to the topics of spiritism, witchcraft, and even paganism that we looked at weeks ago. There are connections, okay? The truth of the matter is they all have the same source. That's kind of the point of our study. The God of this world, devil himself, is the source of it. But the New Age movement is kind of it's the paganism of peace is what it is. Its proposed goal is complete harmony, complete freedom, and perfect love in the world. That is what their goal is. And the expression New Age, you know, the song 1969, the fifth dimension here, talked about the dawning of the age of Aquarius, but the actual term New Age or New Age movement didn't come into play until about a year later. It was actually through the 70s and 80s, promoted by a magazine called the New Age Journal, and then a book by a fellow named Mark Satin called New Age Politics. But as a result of those books, beginning in the early 70s, it evolved into what we call today the New Age movement. It has many subdivisions, but it's generally... New Age movement is generally an assortment of Eastern-influenced religions along with mysticism. Anything from Hinduism, Buddhism, anything that's like that. It's a conglomeration of all different kinds of philosophies and theologies, and it's all held together very thinly because it has a very diverse teaching, okay? However, what's interesting is their goal is so that we understand who God is. And they say we come to that through correct thinking and correct knowledge. In fact, it's a theology of feel-goodism, universal tolerance, and moral relativism. In fact, as I was reading some articles, one of the authors that I read put it this way. He said, if the New Age movement had a color, okay, they would say that it's the color of the rainbow, all right? Because they accept anything really, pretty much anything is welcome, except I really believe, what happens when you take a bunch of colors and mix them together? Black, gray, okay. I think that's probably the more appropriate color because it's less made up of many distinct colors and more a huge hodgepodge of every and any color. But anyway, what's interesting, too, is while participants in the New Age movement kind of pick and choose what they like and what they don't like, it's kind of ironic that they want to bring the world to a place of correct thinking and correct knowledge. What's their definition of correct and who's correct? Whose hodgepodge is right? So anyway, what is the doctrine? And as you might imagine, in a religion where pretty much anything goes, there are many, many diverse doctrines. But if we had to narrow it down to the very core doctrine of the New Age movement, the absolute core teaching would be this: man is divine. Man is divine. That is what this all leads to. Man is divine. Well, they mean mankind. All right. Roger's trying to be funny. In the New Age movement, man is central. He is viewed as divine. He is viewed as co-creator, and really, he's viewed as the hope of any future peace or harmony in the universe.
Do they have a hereafter?
Kind of, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Jim asked if they have a hereafter, and they kind of have a here and an after, but not a hereafter. Okay, and I'll explain that, or you'll kind of see it come out as we go. But what the New Age movement teaches actually falls into two main categories, and this is kind of their focus. The first one is physical and spiritual evolution. They teach physical and spiritual evolution. Really, it is man developing into the divine. For the most part, they believe that man did physically evolve and is still developing, but will soon leap forward into a new spiritual state. And they actually believe that is going to happen in the age of Aquarius, which they would say that we are in right now. Many New Age practices are designed to push one ahead into that state. Here are a few of them. Here are a few of the ways that the New Age movement believes that they can evolve forward both physically and spiritually. One of them is astral projection. This is the deliberate, and this is what they say, I don't believe this happens, but they say it's the deliberate leaving of one's body to travel around the universe and even contact other beings. And what's interesting is I was so thrilled to remember this song that I played, because when I learned about the age of Aquarius, I'd never seen the video that accompanied with it. I'd never even listened to the lyrics at all, other than this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. That's all I knew, okay? But as I watched this, where were they? Where were they? They were out in space. That's right. They were out in the universe. And they were singing about peace and harmony and the dawning of the age of Aquarius and the planets aligning. And anyway, so my point is astral projection, that's kind of what they were doing right there, what that was portraying. Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb, describes, I don't know how many of you know who Shirley MacLaine is, you look her up, but she's very heavy into the, in fact, she would be the poster child, really, of the New Age movement today. But actress from years ago, I think she's still acting. But in her book, Out on a Limb, she describes her reluctant conversion to New Age belief. And it was actually an out-of-body experience that she said she had that convinced her. She goes on to talk about the fact that she travels into space and otherworldly dimensions. Contact, she says, she's had with extraterrestrial beings. She does trans-channeling seances, and she's had a guided tour, she says, of the unseen world. Astral projection is one of the ways they say people can physically and spiritually evolve. And if you've been with us through this series, there's a very common thread that is weaving through all of this, because while, you know, she says she is doing this through astral projection and meeting extraterrestrial beings, remember when we talked about aliens, the message that people said they heard from the aliens they said they encountered was very much the same as the message of the New Age movement. It's the same message as spiritism. It's the same message as witchcraft. A very common thread here, and we know why. But anyway, there's astral projection. They say that is one way that they use to advance physically and spiritually. Another way is yoga. Yoga, by definition, and I didn't know this until I put this lesson together, but does anybody know what yoga means? Okay. Yoga, by definition, is the yoking of oneself to something. Okay? And in the New Age movement, yoga's goal is to yoke with someone or something in the spiritual realm. So I didn't realize that's what the word means, okay? But that's yoga. That's the goal of New Age yoga. Another way is crystal power. For thousands of years, there's actually been many ancient civilizations that have called upon the power in crystals to release mental, physical, and spiritual blockages. And thus, they say, facilitating the free flow of power throughout the body. And of course, the New Age movement has actually adopted that. Another thing they talk about and teach is reincarnation. Again, all of these are for the, they say, the physical and spiritual evolution of man. Reincarnation, okay? Physically dying, but one's same consciousness, in a sense, is born into another being. So to answer your question, Jim, there's always the reincarnation is the here part. All right, they come here, and then they come here, and then they come here, and they
come back as a person.
There are varying schools of thought on that. There are some that believe they can come back as a bug, or you know, whatever. All right, but anyway, there is the reincarnation, and the idea is to do better in each life, and then if you do that, they say, then there is nirvana, which is the after, okay? Nirvana literally means blown out, like a candle, like blowing out the flame. And it refers to one who has finally lived the fullest life and doesn't come back to physically live anymore. In fact, most Indian religions assert that nirvana is the state of perfect quietude, freedom, and highest happiness. along with the liberation from the repeating cycle of birth, life, and death. That's nirvana. Another way they teach is past life recall. And that is exactly what it says it is, the supposed remembering of one's past lives so they can improve in the current one and future lives. Astrology and horoscopes. A lot of you mentioned that upon viewing the video I showed, but that is involved in the New Age movement. It's the study of the movements and relative positions of celestial bodies, interpreted as having an influence on human affairs and the natural world. The song said, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. So astrology and horoscopes play a part in that. Meditation and mantras. That is clearing one's mind to open it to new information. It attempts really to bypass the conscious mind and use a new organ of perception. Anybody know what the new organ is? The third eye? Okay. Yeah, the third eye is what they is what they're looking for, and it gives spiritual light. They say one needs to get the psychic self, or get to the psychic self by training oneself to ignore our mind and rather see that the mind. I'm reading this from I copied this from an article. And if you've ever read New Age material, it's hard to understand, and it's hard to read. So I'm having my difficulty here. Anyway, they say one needs to get to the psychic self by training oneself to ignore messages from the conscious mind and rather see that the mind is actually achieving the cosmic consequences. Did you get all that down? Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, last one. I think it's the last one. Yeah, it is the last one. Mental imagery. To imagine yourself as an animal or in the presence of a divine being or being healed of a sickness. Basically, it is mind over matter, okay, is what they're trying to practice. In Shirley MacLaine's second book, Dancing in the Light, she tells about her reach into the world of yoga, reincarnation, crystal power, Hindu mantras, the past life recall experiences mediated through, and she said it was all mediated through acupuncture. She said her spirit guides informed her that each individual is God, and she passed along the wisdom in her books. As she says, really what humans need to do is just understand that they are unlimited and one only has to realize it. If you know anything about Scientology, that actually is just a very modernized form of the New Age movement, because they actually believe a lot of the same things. They just don't use the terms that I gave you, and they talk about an actual technology that helps them to spiritually and physically evolve. So physical and spiritual evolution is the first main category of teaching in the New Age movement. The second main category of its teaching is universal unity, and it consists really of three divisions. And I got this from an article I read. The universal unity that they're looking for is man with man with nature, and man with God. Okay? Do you remember what one of the key teachings of witchcraft was? Nature, exactly. Yeah, they wanted to get in tune with nature. So here we are again. here we are again. Man with man. They want unity man with man. The New Age movement teaches that we will all learn our proper divine relationship with one another, and when we do that, achieve harmony and mutual love and acceptance and the realization of, and acceptance of our divine, through the realization and acceptance of this divine proper knowledge. Within this hope for harmony, they say, is economic unity. They would like to see a world where everything is just shared. Everything belongs to everybody. Everything is free and shared. So they're hoping for an economic unity, man to man. In fact, the average New Ager is looking for, and I read this in an article, they're looking for a world leader who, with New Age principles, will guide the world into a single, harmonious economic whole. They say it is also hoped that this leader will unite the world in spiritual unity. Does that sound familiar to anybody?
The Antichrist.
That's it, the Antichrist, exactly. And in fact, the way this article read is spiritual unity, really a one-world religion, although they would never call it that. Anybody remember the lyrics to John Lennon's song, Imagine? Beautiful song. Imagine. Beautiful tune. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. That whole song, I think it's probably John Lennon's most popular song ever. But it is about the New Age movement and the progress. Yep. What we just talked about, is, as Roger pointed out, and I think everybody kind of caught on to, these types of things are exactly what the Bible says about the coming Antichrist and what he will one day do. World peace, of course, Thessalonians told us that it will be a false peace, but it'll be a peace in the world, one world government, one world spiritually. And I can't help but think that, again, we see a common thread through all these topics we've looked at, but through the New Age movement, the devil is literally priming the world for the Antichrist. All right, so we have unity, man with man, man with nature is the next one. Since the New Age movement says that God is all and all is God, then nature is also part of God. Man must then get in tune with nature and learn to nurture it and be nurtured by it. American Indian philosophies are popular among New Agers because their focus is oftentimes on nature, on the earth, and man's relationship to them. New Age philosophy generally seeks to merge with those philosophies that put man and nature on an equal level. We are no more or less important or different than our cousin, the animal, the bird, the fish, and the tree. To live in harmony with them, understand them, and learn from them. And I don't know if you've seen the Disney movie Pocahontas.
Yeah.
But that's how they portray that. So another Disney movie tossed out the window. Right? No, just kidding. But anyway. There's universal unity, man with man with nature, and then man with God. Since the New Age movement teaches that man is divine by nature, all people, once they see themselves as such, will be helped in their unity of purpose, love, and development. The goal The goal is for man to fully realize his own goodness and divinity. That is the core doctrine of the teaching. So, my question to you, as usual, what is the allure? Why would people be attracted to this?
Because you're free to do anything you want.
Okay, you're free to do anything you want. And that's been a reoccurring theme, hasn't
yes.
it? Okay, all right.
Well, it seemed to me that everything free, that nobody's doing any work.
Well, they say everybody would be working. No, but I agree. Yeah, everything would be free. There wouldn't be rich
everybody
people. There wouldn't be poor people. Everybody would be the same.
But pretty soon everything would be run out, and nobody's working.
That's right.
Nobody
That's right.
Anything to share with.
Okay. So free, Elaine.
Is this movement growing?
You know, it is. It really is growing. I don't think it's growing quite as fast now as it did in the early 70s. And then I think it really picked up somewhere there in the 90s. And it is growing fast, but I think there's been a couple eras where it really burst. I mean, there are places in the world that are almost dedicated to the New Age movement. Springville, Utah, Zion National Park, has a huge influx of New Age. Sedona, Arizona, right, Joan, Bob?
Yeah, but I love it there.
Well, I like Zion National Park too, but my point is you can go shopping for your crystals. In Sedona and Springdale, you can get into a sweat tent in Sedona and Israel. Right. So
that brings up the question, should none of us be doing yoga?
You know, I think there are a lot of people.
You can look at me and tell I don't.
I think a lot gets lost. I think a lot of people look at yoga as a exercise.
Yeah,
and if somebody's doing an exercise, that's fine. But I will tell you that most hardcore yoga instructors will begin filtering in those teachings because they're in it for real. Okay, so it comes with caution. It comes with strong caution. Shirley?
I think as young people come out of their family life and their teachings, like all of us have, and I came out about the time before this all started, it's a great way to believe and to live after you've come from religion, which many of us come from building mortar religion, very strict, and it's just the total opposite.
Right. That's actually one of the allures I've got listed, yeah. That's right. It's from overemphasized structure to freedom, yeah, they would say. Gloria?
Plus, around that time, about 47, 48 years ago, I was 10 years old at the time. But my brother...
Me too. No.
He was a hippie in San Francisco.
Okay.
And a lot of influence was the LSD. If you recall, there was a lot of deaths, and they would get on it, and they were just out of this world.
For sure. Yeah.
And right now, I watched a program the other night. I couldn't believe it. They were saying that Hitler, his whole life was crystal meth. Back then.
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
They said the mixture that the doctor would give him was the same concoction as crystal meth.
Wow.
So that whole war and all his thought pattern was a mind that was so mixed up on drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's when a lot of that hippie and LSD movement was. And then that went off, and then another drug Like you say, there's another, whatever the newest thing is now, you know. But that was a big influence.
Yeah. Any other allures that you can think of? Christina? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other thoughts on allures, Christy?
It just sounds so nice and all inclusive from afar. Yeah, it could sound very enticing, just, you know, very kind. You're thinking about other people. And if, you know, you're not going along with it, you look really, you know, rigid. And what's wrong with you? Don't you want everybody to be able to, you know, have all these things? And it can, you know, anyway.
No, I you bring up a good point, because truly the things that they teach that one can have through the New Age movement is what is exactly supplied by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Peace, harmony, unity. It really is. And people are looking for that, and if they think they can find it here, what a beautiful tactic of Satan.
Yeah, but those people see Christians as being in the way.
Yeah.
They're slowing down. They've been in Nirvana for having those Bible-thumping Christians.
That's right. Yeah. We're holding a lot of people back. You know that, Gary? We are. We're holding a lot of people back. We're holding science back. All right. Here are a couple that I've got. Lure is you are God. Okay? That desire is what led Satan to rebel against God. Isaiah 14, 13, 14 says, there Satan said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So the very thing that Satan desired is what they are offering. That desire, that pride, that arrogance is what led to the fall of man. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3. I just want to read one verse there real quick, just in case you haven't noticed this before. You probably have, but just in case. Genesis, we'll be going to Isaiah shortly, but Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 5. And this is the dialogue between Satan the serpent and Eve. And Satan is telling her why God doesn't want her to eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And that is what put her over the edge. So she saw the fruit, saw it was good, and she took and brought it to Adam, and they ate. So the New Age movement teaches that since man is divine by nature, he then has divine qualities. You are God. And that is the same thing again that same desire that led Satan to his fall and man to his fall. So you are God is one of the allures. You can create your own reality. That's another thing. We didn't talk about this much as we were going through some of the teachings earlier, but they believe that they can create reality by what they believe. In other words, if they believe something to be true, then it is true. And if they believe something to not be true, then it is true. They actually believe that they can change reality simply by what they believe. All moral boundaries have been erased. There are no absolutes because there is no distinction between good and evil. In fact, nothing has reality until one says it has reality. Get this. So just like God, they believe they are God, okay? So just like God, they believe they can speak things into existence. Okay? This is one of those areas, and I'll just tell you, we need to be careful, because this is actually something that has crept into the church a little bit through positive thinking. All right? If you believe it, you can achieve it. If you dream it, you can do it. Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, and there are many others, we need to be aware of any and all who promote that kind of philosophy, that if you believe it to be real, it will be real, all right? Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. That's gonna be one of our first weeks when we transfer from doctrines that keep people from Christ to doctrines that are actually in the church that keep Christians as useless as possible for Christ. We're gonna talk about that subject. But anyway, yeah, you're right. You can create your own reality is one of the allures. Okay, I can believe what I want to believe, and if I believe it hard enough, then it's true, and it can become a reality. Third allure is you can be more spiritual than other people. Those who adhere to New Age thinking, I'll just tell you, and I've encountered quite a few of them, are some of the most spiritually sounding people that I have ever met. They like to talk about spiritual things. They like to use spiritual words. They are positive. They are uplifting. They are friendly. They are nice. And that is a huge appeal, a huge allure. Again, I'll tell you, some of the most pleasant people that I've ever been around are those who are New Agers, okay? They are kind and gentle people for the most part. Not Isaiah yet, but let's go to New Testament, Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. And this is a warning from Jesus, and I'll explain it. At least I'll explain its connection to what we're talking about here after I read it. But Matthew chapter 7, and look at verse 15. He just simply says here, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And we just got done talking about the gentleness and kindness of New Agers. And that said, I honestly think that most people who are caught up in the New Age movement don't know that there is a ravenous wolf behind the things that they are promoting. I think they've been deceived by it, but the problem is they are his messengers. They are his messengers, and as soft and as cuddly and as kind as they may be, behind them, behind their teaching, is a ravenous wolf. The New Age movement is a counterfeit philosophy that appeals to the feelings of individuals, leading them to think that they are God and can enhance their lives through their own efforts. The fourth appeal is you are the solution to the world's problems. Really, I mean, think about it. If everybody was peaceful, if everybody was unified, if everybody shared, all right, all the problems would be gone. You've heard the saying of someone who thinks a lot of themselves, they think the world revolves around them. Well, in reality, that is what the New Age movement teaches, that the world revolves around me, man, okay? Since the New Age movement teaches that man is divine by nature, once they see themselves as such, they will contribute to the unity of purpose, love, and harmony in the world. The goal is for man to realize again just how good he really is. Again, you know, there is a quality, a definite quality about what they teach. I mean, most of the things that they are wanting in their own life and in the world are virtues that we find in Scripture. The problem is they think they can get them without the true and living God. They think they can do it on their own. The fifth appeal is you get unlimited do-overs. With reincarnation, there is never a judgment, but rather you get a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and so on. And truly, it kind of brings about a mentality of, well, I'm just going to waste this life then. You know, I'm going to do what I want this time because I get another chance next time around. Neil Anderson wrote a book called Walking Through the Darkness. And he says the New Age movement, and I wasn't sure, I didn't do a lot of research on him, but it sounds to me like he was in the New Age movement and came out of it. But he says the New Age movement is not seen as a religion, but a new way to think and understand reality. It's a very attractive, he says, to the natural man who has become disillusioned with organized religion, as Shirley was saying earlier. Disillusioned with organized religion or even just Western rationalism. The person who gets into the New Age movement desires spiritual reality, but doesn't want to give up materialism, deal with his moral problems, or come under authority. And that right there is what is so attractive about this movement. So what is the truth? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Isaiah's next. I knew it was coming. Hebrews chapter 9, though. Okay, so the last allure that we talked about is unlimited do-overs. All right. Well, here's the truth. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Point being made here, the truth is there is no second chance after death. It is appointed for man to die physically once, and then after this, the judgment. In fact, there are portions of Scripture that talk about two deaths, the second one being judgment. Revelation talks about the final judgment of man. Every man is appointed to die at least one time physically. That's going to happen, okay? But then there is that judgment in which it's determined where he's going to spend eternity. And oddly enough, Scripture calls it the second death, because death in Scripture means separation. When we die physically, our soul is separated from our physical body. When we die spiritually, our soul is separated eternally from God. So anyway, there is no, after we die physically, there is no second chance. The Bible says nothing about reincarnation, nothing about past lives, nothing about future lives, no place of limbo, no place of purgatory, no nirvana, no utopia. I am Craig Jansen. Craig Jansen originated by God in his mother's womb. I will always be Craig Jansen, and after I physically die, Craig Jansen will be judged by God, and where God determines, Craig Jansen will spend eternity. So there is no second chance after death. It is appointed for men to die once, and after that, the judgment. The truth is, there is a judgment for sin. The greatest sin ever committed was when Satan, in pride, desired to be like God. In fact, pride, that kind of pride, that kind of arrogance, is really, it's not only the greatest sin, but it is the essence of sin. Every sin that man does originates in pride and selfishness. And there is a judgment for it. Because the New Age movement teaches humanity as God, that's pride. That is arrogance. Isaiah chapter 2. There it is. Isaiah chapter 2. We're just going to read a few passages from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. And just remember, we're talking about the arrogance of man to think he can be like God. We're talking about the pride of man in being selfish and doing the things that he does. And in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled." And I think the word lofty makes me think about what Satan desired. He wanted to be seated on the high throne. He wanted to be just like God. The New Age movement teaches that man can be God. Actually, not that he can be, that he is God. Well, it says, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low." If you're still in Isaiah, go to chapter 13. Verse 11. God says, "I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." There is a judgment for sin, and pride and arrogance really are the worst of them all. The truth is, man is not God, nor can he become God. Isaiah 45, in fact, turn to 44, but let me read you one in 45 as you're turning there. Isaiah 45:5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me." Isaiah 44, verses 24 and 25. "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretched out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness." In Psalm 100, you don't have to turn there, verse 3, the psalmist there, he says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are just the people of His pasture." The people. He called us the sheep of His pasture. Psalm 86:10 says, "For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God." So the truth is, man is not God, nor can he become a God. The truth is, man is not even good. While he can do a good deed, even in his natural state, I mean, he can be nice. He can be gentle. He is not good by nature. And therefore, even his good deeds, Scripture says, are tainted by sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, "For there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin." So we are all guilty. Let's go to one more. Well, might be more than one, but Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. And again, what this is talking about is man's nature, who he truly is. And the truth is, man is not good. He can do good things from time to time, even in his sinful nature. I mean, we can be kind to one another, but by nature, our character, really, there is none good. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The point I want to make there is not only have we fallen short of God's perfection, but we are all guilty. Every single one of us has sinned. We are not good by nature. Psalm 5:4 says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. So the truth is, man is not God, nor he can become God. He's not even good. The truth is, man cannot correct his own problem. Because God is perfect, sinful man can't even dwell in his presence. And there's nothing that man within his own power can do about it. Not with yoga, crystal power, reincarnation, not with past life recall, meditation, positive thinking, not even with honesty, integrity, love, and peace can one correct his problem, because we have already sinned. We're already disqualified. So the truth is, only Jesus Christ can offer the solution. And I'm going through this now, and I know most everybody here, that this is stuff that you could probably recite in your sleep, because you've come to the knowledge that you are a sinner. You have placed your faith in Christ. But I'm going through this now because people in the New Age movement, people in so many of these other things that we've talked about, they have been deceived. They've been distracted. They've been led astray. Some of them, like the New Age movement, have come so close through the virtues that they're pursuing, but they're missing the one critical thing, and that is we are helpless in our state. We are not God. We are not even good. We need God as our solution. Only Jesus Christ offers the solution. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Where heaven requires us to be perfect to enter and dwell with God, and we are naturally disqualified, Christ died so that through faith in him, that verse says, we could actually obtain the righteousness of God. God's righteousness, his perfection, is given to us as we trust in him. Acts 10:43 says, to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And of course, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus Christ to live that sinless life that man could not live, so that he could die and take the penalty for sin that we deserved. And that is exactly, that right there is exactly what Satan is trying to keep man from seeing. And he will put forth teachings like this. Again, some of the people that I have met in the New Age movement are some of the kindest, most peaceful, giving. In fact, I'll just tell you, my stepmom is into the New Age movement. And I can't tell you how many times Jeanine and I have talked about, you know, we shared the gospel and we keep thinking, she's just missing Christ. The virtues are already being practiced, but she needs the Lord for that remission of sin. She needs to trust in Him so that her she can have the righteousness of God. Titus 3, 4, and 5 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." The truth is, Craig Jansen has salvation. I am Craig Jansen. I originated as Craig Jansen by God in my mother's womb. I will always be Craig Jansen. And after I die, Craig Jansen will be judged by God, and where God determines, Craig will spend eternity. And not because of anything that I have done or anything that I have accomplished, but only because I have placed the full weight of my trust in God's solution for my sin problem. That is the only reason that I know I have salvation. In 1 John 5:12, it says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." The truth is, Craig Jansen has salvation. Do you? Do you? I pray that if you don't know that yet, that you would trust in what God has done for you through Jesus Christ and receive that gift of salvation. Again, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." The truth is, spirituality comes through humility. It isn't through the virtues that we practice. It is through our submission to God. In fact, the only reason that the Christian can practice the virtues, some of them that we've talked about tonight, the ones that we find in Scripture, is because we have submitted to the power of God in us. But that is where we're going to end tonight. And I've gone over time as usual, but